This is another episode. Wow, we're actually
We're on a roll.
Another episode of All Consumed. I am Chris Osborne, and I'm here with Neil Davey. Neil, how are you?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
I'm good. And we are here at ICO.
Balls from the Post.
Yeah, Good Street, the People's Pizzeria on Good Street. A place that has really been a lifesaver for me for years. I'm not going to say it's the best pizza in London. It's probably not the cheapest, but it is the best cheap pizza in London.
I think that's fair.
And it has been since I moved here, which is a long time ago.
It's got to be like 20-odd years since I've
longer than that it's been here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But just good, basic pizza. I think a margarita costs just £6 now. Mm-hmm. I can remember when it was around half that price, but £6 these days. It's pretty good for a pretty decent pizza in a central location.
Yeah.
Beautiful summer day. We're sitting outside here.
It's a really good mixed crowd of people. It was really buzzy. I'm going to kind of open some of I used to pop in for like they did a really, I assume they still do, a really cheap coffee and croissant deal in the morning.
I remember that. I've done that before too. Yeah. And back, it seems like I used to be in this area a lot for events and drinking a lot at these events, and this place would be a lifesaver. One of my favorite places in London.
It's probably good, if I really think about it. Yeah. It's good to be back. It's very much in the ethos of what we're trying to do.
Well, very good. There you go. But you say it's good to be back. It's good to be back here, obviously, but it's good for you to be back in London. You've been away. I have.
I finally, after many, many years of very much at the top of my wish list, got to Thailand.
Okay.
I had a couple of weeks in Thailand, which was amazing. Fascinating place, great people, really nice mix of keeping busy, seeing all the touristy stuff, sweating like a pregnant nun. Dear Lord, it's humid.
That's exciting.
Dear Lord.
Were you dressed like one?
Only in the privacy of my own hotel room.
There's a certain street for that in Bangkok.
It probably is. But it was fascinating. I was saying to you earlier, the funny thing was, wanting to eat spicy food and being told by sort of chefs and people, there's some certain things aren't as spicy. We probably get a slightly misinterpreted version over here, or we have a regional version over here. So you never like to ask whatever. But I had this ridiculous challenge of I like spicy food.
Okay.
And was regularly sized up as pale white Farang, who obviously can't handle spicy food.
Right.
So we ended up with this bizarre like debates and kind of. There was the first hotel we stayed at, there for 3 nights. Their breakfast buffet, I know we were chatting earlier, so the Thai breakfast buffets are like.
Some of my favorite breakfasts I've ever seen in my life.
Just glorious. Again, the teams there were brilliant. Everyone was really friendly and helpful and lovely and smiley. And they had this egg station. And they were doing omelets. And the first time I looked at the list, they were doing there was a Thai omelet with red chilies. I asked for that. Got served a very beautiful kind of rugby ball shaped omelet with no spicing in it whatsoever.
Okay.
Following day, get the waitress on my side, ask her. She goes and orders it, comes back, completely plain omelet, no chilies whatsoever.
Oh,
final day, they're pointing to the bowl of chilies, watching the guy making the omelet, and he looks me in the eye, reaches with a spoon, goes into the bowl of chilies, looks at me, tips about two-thirds of the spoon away and kind of sprinkles the rest into this omelette. And you go, oh, it's a start, but it wasn't good. So, yeah, so that was interesting. That was quite funny. But then I was talking to a friend who's lived there for a long time.
Okay.
She showed us around the final night.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying the same thing. You don't like to sort of challenge too much just in case they go the wrong way or because it shows a complete ignorance of a dish that it's not meant to be that spicy. And then she has work colleagues that have cooked for her and done things at kind of half Thai levels. And as Nikki pointed out, said, yeah, she's like, oh, I can handle this. I'll take whatever whatever you would cook. And they refused and given her like half strength stuff. And she's said, as you said, you know, kind of takes two mouthfuls and starts hallucinating.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, maybe I can't, even after 5 years,
maybe
I can't
market
take
those chilies differently. Huh?
Maybe probably charge more for them. Take the full Thai level, but no, wonderful place. palaces were amazing. Okay, the temples were amazing. The history.
You went to Wat Po, yeah?
So we did.
I remember that place. It's an incredible place to visit. Yeah.
So it's wonderful. There's a fascinating history, really curious history. Did a couple of really interesting walking tours. Got out on the river a couple of times, did a kind of river dining cruise. It was a bit of a tourist cliche, but I think, you know, sod it, we're tourists.
Right, yeah.
There is a point you have to kind of acknowledge we are tourists. So we did that, and then the following day we had this tour where we saw the same, very much the same things, but in daylight, and got a little more up close and personal. Amazing markets, Chinatowns, just brilliant. Just absolutely loved it. A real proper assault on the senses. Everything I thought it was going to be, and then some.
So. Oh, wonderful. Oh, nice. Oh, very, very good. And, I think last time we did one of these episodes, we were talking about you going to Thailand.
Yep.
And you referred to my next trip as going to the Thailand of England, which was Suffolk.
Very much so.
Which I'm not sure if it fits, but it is a very lovely place. The weather was wonderful.
And, mosquitoes?
Maybe. Yeah. But, I went to Orford on the coast in Suffolk, and stayed a lovely place, had some lovely food. I'd love to mention Smokery. It's an old-fashioned smokehouse I went to there and stocked up on all sorts of yummy stuff, and that's Pennies of Orford. So smoked eel, smoked trout, smoked chicken, smoked turkey, smoked duck. I've been having some really nice lunch since then. And that's right on the wharf there. And from the wharf, we went over.
Smoker's cough. That is, yeah. That's a really good
not yet. No, I used to have one of those. No. Went over. There's a little island just off the coast of Orford. It's called Orford Ness. It's managed by the National Trust. You got to schedule a ferry ride to get out there because they limit the number of people on the island. And it used to be a ballistics testing site, but now it's a wildlife sanctuary. Lots of birds. And a few scattered, random, abandoned military buildings. And just this huge, flat shingle beach. And it was, the weather was nice, not a cloud in the sky. It was an amazing place to just walk around and be somewhere weird.
Yeah.
And I would look back to the mainland, and I was like, oh, that's England, okay. Yeah. And then I would look back at where this little island where I was like, and this is like nowhere else on Earth. And this is the moon, I don't know. But it was really, really, really neat. And also during that trip, went to Sutton Hoo, famous Anglo-Saxon burial sites.
Yep.
In that general area, a few miles inland, though, which is what makes it amazing because they found these big boats that were buried there.
It's a fascinating story.
Yeah, just really changed what we know and how we perceive Anglo-Saxon culture. So that was really exciting. It's a nice weekend trip from London. I'd certainly recommend it.
Yeah, no, it's cool. No, so we discovered Sutton Hoo kind of by accident. We've got friends who live in Suffolk. We members of the National Trust. Yeah, Sutton Hoo. And just kind of popped in on the off chance, and then realised, oh, this is the place here. We'd read about this, and then and pretty much any time we go down to or drive over to Peasenhall, we sort of dip in. Fascinating. Yeah.
They had reenactors while I was there too. That was something.
They're an interesting
subculture. Yeah, and actually a few of them were quite knowledgeable, and we're using Anglo-Saxon technology to make weapons and jewelry and things like that. So that was
I take back anything
cooking, actual like what they we believe people were eating back then. That's really neat.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that just a lovely slice of English countryside. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, that's very cool. And very much the Thailand of no, it's really not, is it?
No, so, yeah,
can't shoehorn that one in any further.
So since you've been back from Thailand, what have you been doing? What else?
Been absolutely mad busy, which has been quite nice. We've talked about these things many, many times. I know they're just the joys of occasionally just the last two or three episodes, I've often talked about things to just kind of sort of take a step back and kind of appreciate something in your life. Mm-hmm. And one thing we did in Thailand, which really don't do very often, so out on Koh Samui, there's a certain compulsion because we're thousands of miles from home.
Mm-hmm.
Should go and explore places. You should go and eat local food and find local gems. Or we could sit in the three very nice hotels we were staying in, and just enjoy the views of the ocean and the sunset and the sunrise, and do very little apart from read and fall into a swimming pool every time we got too hot. And we did that, and it was absolute bliss, because you don't do it very often, or don't give yourself permission to do it very often.
Certainly, you got to have a bucket list. You got to check.
Yeah. And certainly self-employment. And I'm sure I know other self-employed people feel the same. You always feel slightly guilty for not doing anything. Yeah. So to actually give yourself permission to do that. And also then coming back to two or three projects that have all kind of hit the busy period at exactly the same time. Absolutely flat out. And that's kind of rewarding in a slightly different way. And actually getting to bed feeling like I've achieved something. So I know, talking about you and your work schedule, and
it's a bit of a lull at the moment for some really interesting reasons.
And then, but there's that sense of sometimes you can just, this is really lovely, I've got nothing in the diary today. And suddenly it's 8 o'clock at night and you're like, what did I do?
Yeah.
And it's nice to have like little, it's either nice to be, fill the day massively, or have like the odd little target to achieve. As I say, even if it is just, I'm going to brush my teeth or put pants on.
One leg at a time.
Still a win.
You can sort of see it as two objectives. But kind of a nice surprise. My workload is a lot more mellow than I expected it to be. It's going to change very soon. So this is the calm before my storm. You've had yours. But I've really been taking advantage of that, getting out, enjoying stuff. You know, this time of year in London, weather's nice. You feel like you could just be a tourist here for a while. Couple of things I've been doing. One that I really enjoyed was going to see this exhibition at the Serpentine Gallery in Hyde Park. It's called Webs of Life by Thomas Saraceno in collaboration with other artists. And webs means like spider webs. Okay, so lots of little things.
I'm intrigued by this, and
things
slightly
connecting a series of exhibitions of this one big show, including just these like glass or perspex boxes that spiders have been allowed to just create in with their webs. And it's some of the most intricate art, if you want to call it that, I've ever seen. Just really beautiful, intricate, complex. And one of them also, they have a like a confessional from a church. Okay, so you got like the confessor's seat, and then the priest seat, and then the area in between, and that's just filled with spider webs.
Wow.
And that was just fascinating to see. There's a documentary that you can watch there. Probably find it online as well. About these guys, they're spider diviners
and what a great band they were.
Yeah, exactly. in Cameroon, and they will go and go out into the forest where these pretty big spiders, about the size of an adult person's hand, and they live in these big holes in the ground. And the diviners will come and they put like a metal ring around the hole, and they'll knock on it and have a question for the spider.
It's the spider.
So like if somebody had a question about their fate or job or the relationship, they could go and one of these diviners would ask the spiders about it. And they'll set little objects inside the ring and tell the spider, if the answer is yes, touch the leaf. If no, touch the stick or something like that. It was just fascinating. And they've even got their own website. So you could email them or send them a question on their website, and they'll go out into the forest and ask the spiders about it. And I do not know how to pronounce it, but the website is nggamdu.org. Nyamdu. But
we'll put that on the social media to
the Serpentine website, it'll probably direct you in that direction as well. And this exhibition's on until I think early mid September, and it's well worth it.
This is something that's like, it's going to completely creep me out, but I'm also really oddly fascinated.
And there's other things too, but those are the ones that obviously really sticking with me. Yeah,
gonna have to give that a shot, I think.
Speaking of films, you were telling me before we started recording, you've seen a good film recently.
It's just one of those, bang of the day, I mean, sort of 15, 20 years ago, when things got a moderate cinema release, or there was a chance of things getting a cinema release and spreading by word of mouth.
Yeah.
And occasionally you got these little low-key gems that would sort of pop up in London and then slowly spread out and become word of mouth hits. And it was often just really nice little feel-good films. These days with streaming, the huge amount of content that's out there, straight to Netflix films, the stuff Amazon Prime and stuff are actually making, it's really easy for these things to get lost. But there's this absolutely charming little film based on a true story. The film's called Jerry and Marge Go Large. Stars the brilliant Bryan Cranston, the lovely Annette Bening, and the lovely and also brilliant Annette Bening. Based on a true story of a guy who's retired. He's a maths whiz, amazing. Okay.
Sort of, he gets cancer mastermind. And needs to start selling drugs. Yeah.
So yes, okay. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, no, that was the prequel.
Oh, okay.
So this is the alternative. The alternative of breaking good. He discovers a flaw in the lottery. There's a particular type of lottery game that happens if nobody wins the jackpot, where if you play it in a certain way, completely legally, the odds come back in favor of the player.
All right, okay.
And he spots this mathematical flaw and starts exploiting it and keeps winning the lottery. In an entirely legal manner, the story goes off in slightly on it.
True story.
True story. Absolutely fascinating, absolutely charming. I mean, it's just two brilliant central performances. Some of the group also discover the flaw. There's a little rivalry. But it's kind of the human relationships. It's just the whole them doing really good things with the money that they win.
Wow.
And it is just, it's just nice. It's just nice. And there's no, it's never going to trouble the Oscars. It's never going to trouble the Academy in any way, shape or form.
Okay.
But it's like 97 minutes as films used to be. It rips along. It's sweet. It's funny. It'll make you cry. I'm Jerry and Marge Go Large. Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
Right.
So if you got Amazon, so with your subscription, it's free to watch.
Free to watch.
Excellent.
If you got the subscription.
All right.
Could not recommend it more. Just so show your kids, show your grandparents. Everyone will just. It's just nice.
All right. I need a good film. A feel good film. Yeah. So I'm gonna keep that in mind. All right. Now another recommendation. In fact, I don't even know if you recommended it actually to me in person, but me just drooling over your Instagram. Mm-hmm. profile, and I've been meaning to go to this restaurant for a while, is Brutto.
Oh man.
And I know you've been a few times.
It's the Jerry and Marge Go Large.
There you go. Well, I'm a little bit larger because of my visit there last night. Went out there, had caught up with a great fan, and we had a wonderful meal. I just love the setting. I love the concept. Florentine trattoria.
Yeah, I like the fact that you said you really like the smell.
And yeah, so I'm catching up with a friend. We haven't seen each other in a while. I was just sitting there talking. Really good conversation. And I just looked at her and said, it smells really good in here right now. She's like, yeah, it really does. And just some highlights. The tortellini and brodo was like what I've had in central Italy.
Yep.
At very nice places. So that was wonderful. We had some gnocchi and a red sauce. That was amazing. And we had peposa, which like is a black pepper beefshin.
And
that just...
I went with a friend of mine. We both like cooking. We both like slow cooking and stuff. And we tried this. And you know what? This is a dish you could make at home.
Yeah.
However, you'd need to invest about 16 hours.
Yes.
You'd have to get really good beef shin and really good black pepper.
Yeah.
I think, or you could just go to Brutto and it comes in a bowl and it comes with a piece of bread so you can mop it up.
Yeah. We also got some cabbage on the shredded cabbage on the side. That was perfect with it. And it sounds so boring and bland, but it was so nice. Had a wonderful Negroni with it as well. The bar staff seemed to really know what they were doing with respect to Italian style aperitivi and cocktails. And it was just really nice.
It's just nice. It is just now. Russell Norman, he of formerly Polpo. Some of the same. I know he's also taken a lot of his staff, a lot of the team there, out to Florence on a regular basis to see the places that inspired, to give them a sense of the ethos they're trying to get across. I love the fact like with the menu comes on like one A4 sheet, but it's double-sided.
Yeah.
So it's the Italian names and then the English names. It's lots of things you really want to eat. And there's a £5 Negroni.
And,
come on.
And,
just.
You know, it's near Farringdon Station, but just down this little street where you just feel like you've you're not necessarily transported to Italy, but you're transported away from London.
To be that close to the market and everything else, and you just feel, yeah, no, you're right, you just feel
fantastic.
It's very, very beautiful. That little street now with Bouchon Racine just around the corner as well, and the Three Compasses underneath that.
On the other side of the market, you've got Club Gascon, which is probably one of the best restaurants I've ever been to in London. There's a lot of great food around that area. St. John's, obviously just changed the way the city eats in many aspects. So it's a great area still.
So
a lot of tough choices, but I'm so glad we went to Bruto.
Just lovely. I went Christmas last year, catching up with some friends. Yeah. I think I ended up going like 3 times in 2 weeks because everybody just wanted to go back to Bruto.
I understand that.
I get it.
Yeah,
it's just nice. It's not big. It's not clever. It is just food.
We do
you want
these
to
things
eat.
Really well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you do the little dough balls with the ham and the cheese?
No.
You got to go back.
Yeah,
we should go back.
Yeah.
We'll go back.
All right. Okay.
Let's record the next episode.
Can do that.
Because I really need an excuse. I don't need any excuse to go back.
That's a very nice restaurant. And that exhibition at the Serpentine I was telling you about, and other things I've been enjoying this summer, I've gone to them on my bike, and I'm really enjoying riding my bike around. And I think in the last episode I mentioned
this is very exciting.
I've got an affiliate link, and somebody actually used that link.
Very exciting. We've got a listener.
We've got a listener with money. A reasonably priced bike for what is, but not a cheap purchase. Okay, we're not talking about buying a dough ball. We're talking about an electric e-bike. But anyway, so that's exciting, and I just wanted to mention thank you if that person is listening to this one as well, and for anyone else. That affiliate link is still live. You get a 50-pound discount off purchase of your bike, I get a little cut there. I guess I should share with Neil as well. I'll take you to Bruto. All right. If you just go on my Instagram feed, Chris Osborne, you should see a photo or a link taking you there. Or if you go to my blog, tikichris.com. I look around for Rad Power bikes or unlock 50 pounds savings when you buy your first Rad Power bike. You will find that affiliate link and save yourself some money. Yeah. So that's how folks can find me. How can they find you now?
And somebody did find you. It's great.
There you go. Somebody's listening.
So, yeah. What? I'm pretty much on all the social media, less so on Twitter these days because it's just a ranty, evil place, as Dinehard. And generally find me on Instagram being much more positive about life and eating quite a lot.
Happy right now.
So, yeah, I think it's getting trying to keep off Twitter. It's kind of one of the big things.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a cesspit. It
sucks, man. And what little success I saw when I was working as a freelance writer and making a significant portion of my income from my own website, it was because Twitter was there and I was using it successfully, and now it's just
it felt like there was a proper food community in those days as well. I think I was kind of through that we met little sort of extensions of social media, and now I guess Instagram to some extent is still a force for good, and hopefully this to our listener.
All right.
This is nice, but they're getting something out of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Cool, man. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Well, let's call it an episode.
Yeah. There's another pizza.
Man, pizza's good.
Pizza's really good.
Off Good Street, just off Tottenham Court Road. Really fantastic, classic London place to eat for good value pizza.
Yeah. Anyway. So we like a bit of good value eating. It's nice, and it is still possible.
It's not harder and harder, less and less likely, but it is still possible.
Right, fantastic. Yeah.
And with that, Neil, what folks are going to hear playing out is "The Year Was Strange" by Enob, and that's a great song, and it's kind of our theme song.
It certainly is.
There you go.
They're playing our tune.
Thank you.